On The Moving Icon, host Chris Vlahonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
Warning, this podcast contains language of a sexual nature. Listener discretion advised. Sex in the media is nothing new. Look at Canterbury Tales or Shakespeare's plays. We're constantly bombarded by references in music, print, and online. But there's one medium that we dedicate much of our free time, TV. Every home has at least one, and with the touch of a button, we're open to whatever has been broadcast. In between the quality programming, we're also exposed to a host of harmful social moral messages, including profanity, violence, self-centeredness, and rebellion. But this podcast is focused on sexual references and whether it has any impact on society's sexual norms. When I refer to sexual references, this includes direct and implied expressions of a sexual nature. Throughout the history of TV, certain shows have become extremely popular, scheduled into the prized primetime slot. Most of these shows start off by playing it safe, then once they start to amass popularity, begin to push the limits. Though there were many shows currently worldwide hits, such as Game of Thrones or Modern Family, I've instead selected shows which are cult classics, as they are more likely to have had some impact on society's attitudes. There once was a time when audiences didn't have to worry about seeing something that would make them blush. This was thanks to the production code, which embodied the moral values of the time. The I Love Lucy show, running from 1951 to 1957, can be described as the most pure family-friendly sitcom of all time. Lucy, along with her real-life husband Ricky, lived out their lives in optimistic post-war America. Despite being a married couple, it was prohibited by the code to show them sleeping together, instead in two separate beds, which was also the real-life practice of many married couples in America at the time. However, just to deviate a little, this social taboo was first defied for the first time in Michael Gordon's 1959 film Pillow Talk. Two scenes were edited, splitting the screen to show Rock Hudson and Doris Day, but juxtapositioned to look as if they were in bed and in a bathtub together. In the I Love Lucy show, another controversy concerned Lucy and Ricky having a baby. The term expecting, rather than pregnant, was used. In a documentary film, it showed a photo of a Catholic priest, a pastor, and a rabbi blessing the script. Over the next 20 years, shows like Happy Days or The Brady Bunch came and went, but then came MASH, one of the most successful TV shows in history, always pushing the boundaries during its primetime slot. MASH was a satirical show against war and especially Vietnam, and it also contained low-level sexual references. Between saving lives, fighting injustice, and playing pranks, characters Hawkeye and Trapper were frequently shown seducing nurses, taking them on romantic dates, usually to the storeroom. However, nothing explicit was ever shown, and it was never directly implied that Trapper, a married man, was ever unfaithful. These tame shenanigans were popular with audiences during this era of the 1970s college movies. Then there was the long-term affair between Margaret Houlihan, aka Hot Lips, and Major Frank Burns, which revealed Frank's double standards. The only other cases of infidelity concerned character B.J. Honeycutt, who strayed twice during the series. Sexual references in the show were never for titillation, but humor, never explicit, and if anything, an examination of fidelity, love, and reconciliation against the backdrop of war. In the late 80s to early 90s, TV standards concerning sex changed dramatically. Like all forms of mass media, TV has a normalizing effect on established social norms, or challenging them and replacing them with new ones. This is due to the omnipresence of TV. When a program is broadcast, it is seen by millions of people at once, while compared to cinema, when a film is screened, it is only seen by a limited audience at the time. Seinfeld had a major impact on pop culture on many levels. It took the bold step of not being a family sitcom, but instead about a bunch of single 30-somethings. This produced storylines relevant to people within this age group. Most episodes include themes relating to dating and relationships, touching frequently on sex and sexual identity. Remember the contest episode or "We're not gay, not that there's anything wrong with it" line. Then there was the constant revolving door of fresh meat, beautiful supermodel women who would date Jerry or George, and at the end of the episode be gone. Though done to generate storylines, it painted an unrealistic picture of dating and expectations of relationships. Yet this was the backbone to Charlie Sheen's character in 2.5 Men. Though it's recently been announced the show is ending in 2015, I'm still amazed how it managed to stay on air for 12 seasons. Basically, it's a show about strong sexual innuendos, sexual stereotypes, and bullying. Yet despite this, it's odd to think that the show's main audience are actually women. Though many will argue that the show should not be taken seriously, but the effect of such content has the ability to make us become accustomed to such behaviour, seeing it as normal. Most of the women Charlie and Alan date are slim, dumb, or crazy supermodels who are loose sexually. It's also worth mentioning how the women treat the men, especially Alan, effectively bullying him. Is this what family time comedy should be about? By the same creators of 2.5 Men, The Big Bang Theory is a slightly toned-down version. In my research, I came across a well-respected TV website stating that the title, which I always thought related to the scientific nature and themes of the show, actually refers to sex. That is, The Big Bang, nudge nudge wink wink. However, in comparison to 2.5 Men, more emphasis, especially in earlier seasons, was on technology and modern life, though now it's become more like the Friends sitcom, with greater emphasis on the couple's relationships. In shows like Glee, though not graphic, deal with themes such as virginity and gay relationships with much ease and openness. It is concerning since the show's main audience are teenage girls between the ages of 10 to 14, a most vulnerable and impressionable age to be confronted with such issues. An offshoot is the American Horror Story series, which combines graphic sexual references with horror. As with all the shows mentioned, just because they don't show the actual sexual acts but imply it should not excuse it. Placing the image in the audience's mind, enabling them to visualize it, is the same as physically showing it. Through mass media, social norms, both new and old, are communicated to the audience and can potentially alter people's perception and attitudes towards sexual behavior. For example, the repeat indoctrination in many popular sitcoms of the 3 dates equals sex rule. But again, does TV really cause and promote the loosening of sexual values? One has to consider the nature of TV production and programming compared to other forms of entertainment media. In film and literature production compared to TV, the production of film and literature compared to TV moves much slower. It may take many years and several attempts to secure a studio deal or publication. By the time the work is made, whatever sexual themes it may contain may need to be rewritten so as to be brought up to date with current trends and social norms. To say film and literature peddle sexual change is true, but the rate at which it does and its effectiveness may be affected by this production time lag. Whilst on TV, episodes can adopt and promote various themes and ideas much more quickly. While it may take between 6 to 12 months for a film to be made and released, a sitcom can make 12 to 20 episodes in the same time period. However, where the effectiveness of TV communicating sexual exploits fails is the restrictions placed upon it by censorship. As TV can be easily accessed by children, unlike entry to a cinema, the standards of how sex can be portrayed during prime time is more restricted. However, you can argue music is faster at peddling sexual themes than TV. The imagery is more cryptic, making the listener concentrate, visualizing the lyrics into actions. Even faster again are social networks. News or information about sex, including sexting, can spread or be ignored at neck-break speed. It could also be used to peddle publicity stunts or legislative campaigns in ways more dynamic and quicker than TV could ever dream about. However, perhaps it's not really the media's fault. Maybe it's the massive changes that have occurred in the last 150 years especially in the last 60 years in Western society, altering sexual identity. This includes changes to laws, education, the sexual revolution, lobbying, pornography industry, changes in technology, and remodeling of the traditional family unit, which all affect the community's moral social attitudes. This probably has had a greater impact on sexual relationships, with the media merely mirroring what's happening and therefore normalizing these changes. But what's most important to remember is that every person has a mind and free will. We need to ensure we equipped ourselves with at least some spiritual armor to protect ourselves from these influences. If you want to learn more about orthodoxy, media, and the arts, visit the OFA blog at orthodoxfilmmakersartist.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with Chris Vlachonasios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.